Listening to the press conference after the game last night, and in the fact that nobody seemed to have answers for what has ailed the Predators, well, for the most part the entire year, especially with the power play, it was just really overall a very disappointing season.
It's just embarrassing, quite frankly. I mean, you know us at Predator Nation. We don't pull the gold-colored glasses on and tell you that it's going to be okay. And, you know, it's not like it's the infancy of this franchise and, oh, it's okay to make the playoffs and you lose in six games. That's 2004 Predators. You make the playoffs and you lose to the Red Wings or the Sharks, somebody like that. We're way, way, way past that, guys. It was embarrassing to watch him as a head coach that's been in the league this long, has won a Stanley Cup, has been to three Stanley Cup finals, and to come out and say, I don't have an answer for this power play. How is it you don't have an answer after watching 88 games of that garbage on the power play? You're telling the fan base and everybody else, the media and everybody, that you don't have an answer for it. That's a problem. I'm sorry. And Laviolette, as soon as he was hired, I loved getting that hire. I think he brought a lot of excitement, a lot of offensive tenacity that we hadn't seen previously with Barry Trotz. But that's inexcusable. And it's, again, I've said it before, it's shameful to give me that kind of answer, that you have no answer for the power play.
I mean, the bottom line is this, and I hate the fact that we are, you know, circling just this one aspect of it, but it starts there, and certainly one of the reasons why we go back to that 55-game stretch when the Predators were 26-24-5. But, you know, what is your objective when you get on the power play? Score a goal. Well, to get there, that means you're not only looking for shots on goal, you're also looking for quality shots on goal. And this is where not just that aspect of it. So it's not like an every time the Predators are on the power play, they're just facing the best goalie in that moment of all time. That's not then you can start making excuses and go down that path. But when you start thinking about it's the number of shots on goal, but it's also the number of quality shots on goal as well.
Well, it's also getting into the zone, quite frankly. I mean, you get a power play and you get an offensive zone draw, and you lose the offensive zone draw way too often, and they clear the puck. And then you're fighting for a minute and a half, basically, to try to get the puck in the zone and set up again. I mean, how long have you been basically together with the majority of this roster and the same coaching staff that you can't figure out how to get into an offensive zone on the power play and start creating chances that way? So it wasn't even that they weren't getting quality chances, they couldn't get any chances. I mean, I'm really banging my head against the wall and figure out why is it so hard with you have guys that are so great 5-on-5 that suddenly on the power play they go brain dead and they can't figure out how to get in the offensive zone and create turnovers and create matchup problems for the other team in the offensive zone to get those high quality danger chances that we talk about that are so important on the power play. I mean, that's a big problem that was never addressed. They could say that, oh, Dan Muse started taking over a little bit about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the season. I don't know if they just broke ignorant because of how awful they were on the power play all season long and just nothing could solve it. Yes, it's a confidence issue as well, but you've got to do something different. And Laviolette said, well, we changed everything. We changed the power play. We changed our approach. You didn't change a thing, aside from maybe putting Philip Forsberg in front of the net. That's about it. But if you're using the same kind of strategy with different players, you're still going to get the same results.
Having a chance once again to visit with Greg Michalopoulos with Prednek Nation, a couple other things stood out for me, and we've talked about this before too, which there's just no excuse for. It's mind-boggling to even have to say this. Last night was, and the fact that it's effort, and that's what you want, the fact that we actually got it last night, so we basically got it in six games, two games of the six. Because I know some want to go, well, what about game one? No, you got it in the first period, and you got it the last 5 minutes, nothing in between. So two games of six, you got something that you take for granted from a team, especially when you're talking about playoffs. Now, if it's game 43 of a long season, you can understand maybe just mentally a team wears out, which might be, you know, we haven't really discussed that part of it. A team that's aging a little bit, How much is the factor the team has been in the playoffs each and every year, going back how many years now, and not just making the playoffs, but advancing until this year to the next round? How much did that come into play, if any at all?
I don't think it factors in whatsoever. I mean, we talked about this team had the playoff experience to battle back and to be able to beat the Dallas Stars and figure them out, but quite frankly, they got outcoached in the series. Yes, they didn't get a whole lot of effort. Part of the time, it seemed like they were defeated. They weren't skating as hard as Dallas was. We got that in Game 6. And to be honest, Johnny, I mean, if they skated like that for six games, I don't think everybody's up in arms about this Predators team. If they lost a couple games in overtime, but the effort was there, they were outplaying, and just Ben Bishop was stealing games left and right, I don't think you have this kind of backlash from the fan base. But to be quite frank, again, you didn't get that. You got that in maybe 20% of the time they played on the ice in the six-game series. That's just not good enough. So Laviolette, and I've banged on about him, you know, falling on his sword for Kevin McCarthy pretty much the entire season. But if he's not willing to make a change and get rid of McCarthy, who's been his right-hand man for 13 years now, then he's got to go as well. And I know everybody's going to say, well, who's better out there than Laviolette? Who are you going to get? Did anybody ever hear of Jim Montgomery before this season? No, he was a college coach. And look what he does with the Dallas Stars team that was primarily an offense-first team. They didn't care about goaltending. They didn't care about defense. He brought structure to the team, and he made them a very dangerous squad. They still have the talent when they have the puck, but without the puck, they're tenacious defensively. They play a five-man all-play defense in their own zone, and they get the puck out, and they counterattack. So don't tell me that, oh, if Laviolette's gone, you don't have anybody better. There's always guys out there that can be better and that can best utilize the talent on this roster.
All right, I hate to bring this up. Roman Josi, captain, right? Scott, where's the C? Where's the motivation as far as motivating his teammates?
Well, Josi is one of those guys that we've seen it all too often with the Predators, is that they lead by example. That's what we keep hearing anyway, is that their play on the ice dictates it. Shea Weber, you saw it all the time with him when he was captain. He's out there just beating guys up in the corners and generating some excitement that way. Mike Fisher, you saw it a little bit more, probably a little more talkative in the locker room area. But, again, this team lost a lot of leadership over the last couple of seasons. Mike Fisher's gone. Shea Weber's gone. James Neal's gone. A lot of guys aren't on the roster. So you have a new group of leadership out there now over the last couple of seasons. And you know what? It's not good enough. If that's what their leadership dictates, that's the kind of play they put out there with that leadership, then something's got to change.
I don't care what sport we talk about, Greg. Sometimes head coaches are put in a position where, okay, you need to make changes to your staff. Some say, I get that, I understand, and I'm going to be addressing that and doing that. Or they go, no, this is my coaching staff right here. Take us or leave it. And so which direction do you think moving forward will Peter Laviolette take moving forward?
Well, I think there's probably a 95% chance Kevin McCarthy is gone. I mean, it's just plain and simple. The power play was atrocious all year long. They couldn't solve whatever it was ailing. He has to take the fall for this. Now, if Peter Laviolette goes to David Poile, say, no, you can't just fire Kevin McCarthy on this. This is on all of us. Then you know what? If you want to fall on your sword for Kevin McCarthy, then you'll be out the door as well. It's that simple. Somebody has to take the fall for a team that previously won the President's Trophy 2 years ago, went to the Stanley Cup final, basically told David Poile, no, we want another chance with this same group on this roster, and you basically fall into the Central Division Championship because nobody else won it during the regular season. So you fell into that, you get home ice advantage, and you lose 2 out of 3 on home ice to a Dallas Stars team. That's not going to be good enough. So, yes, there has to be changes behind the bench. Whether it's one or all three, it's going to happen. I personally think that Peter Laviolette is pretty loyal. He was pretty gloom and doom after the game. I don't know if that is a realization that it's hitting him that he's either going to have to let go of Kevin McCarthy or he's going to be looking for another job. Now, it's not going to take him very long to find another job. Let's be honest. The NHL is one of those leagues that loves retreaded head coaches.
Right.
So I don't think he'll have any problem whatsoever getting a job.
And look, you look at his track record, and he's solid for the first couple of years. Somewhere along the lines, the members of his teams just don't respond anymore. And I don't understand that part of it.
I don't know what it is either. I mean, we've seen longer tenured head coaches, particularly in the NFL, maybe that they last a little bit longer. But Laviolette, his message goes stale, I guess, in the locker room after a little while. Maybe he's he's pushed all the buttons he possibly can with the core group, and they just stop listening, I guess. But his expiration has always been 4 to 5 years everywhere he's been. Now, he has a track record of that, despite the fact he might be having a pretty decent season. I mean, look what happened in Philadelphia. Now, granted, I think it's a little bit crazy to fire a coach 3 games into a season to say, well, I didn't like the way that camp looked over the summer and this and that. If you don't like the way camp looks, fire him before the season starts. But an 0-3 start is akin to firing a coach at the end of the first quarter of your first game in the NFL. That's how asinine that is. But his track record has been 4 to 5 years, and he's out the door. Well, he just completed year 5, and it sure looks like, to me anyway, that he's lost this locker room.
You know, I kept being told back in January and February, don't panic. The team has been dealing with injuries and all this. But when you start talking about lack of communication, you know, when you start talking about, you know, chemistry being an issue, that is the, you know, ingredients for bigger problems facing this team moving forward.
Yeah, and guys had come out, so to speak, a little bit to voice their displeasure, not pointing any fingers directly, but you can kind of read between the lines. I mean, we saw Craig Smith saying how irritated and peed off he was about the power play. And they know that, you know, it's not working well. Nobody's more frustrated than they are. But that's kind of poking at the coaching staff a little bit, don't you think? I mean, he didn't say, we have to be better. We have to execute better what the coaches are telling us. No, he said, yeah, we're pissed about it, and it's just not working right now. Well, what happened? He was your hero in game 2, and he ends up with the least amount of ice time the following game. That's not a coincidence. That's a message by LaViolette, knowing what Craig Smith was going with that statement. So that you hear that. You hear P.K. Subban earlier this season talk about, like you said, communication issues. You've been with the same defensive core for the last 3 years now.
Exactly.
What communication do you possibly need if you're playing with the same guys with the same coaching staff?
Are they too many distractions now? I mean, look, you know, 2 years ago, we're talking about players still hungry and they were working to get the nice payday. Now we're talking about players that have had the nice payday. And, you know, money does crazy things to, you know, players. You get complacent. I even go back to the fans being complacent. You know, I understand you didn't have a reason to cheer for this team in game 1, for example. And you go, well, we're not cheering because they're not giving us a reason to cheer. But there's a, you know, I think there's a lot of looking in the mirrors involving not just the organization itself, but even the fans, you know, the true diehard supporters for this team as well.
Well, no doubt about it. I mean, when we talk about contracts, I mean, look at this roster up and down. There's not a whole lot of free agents on this team. So a couple things you have to look at during the offseason. Yes, we all look at Matt Duchene because Matt Duchene loves Nashville, and we keep talking about Matt Duchene coming to Nashville to be that all-important second-line center for the Nashville Predators. But here's the problem with that. You've got only a couple guys that need contracts out of this roster right now. Well, obviously, let's scratch Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmons. Let's say they don't come back. Obviously, they were hired guns anyway. They're done with the Predators. Rocco Grimaldi, you need to sign him. Colton Sissons, you need to sign him. Aside from that up front, that's pretty much it. Your defense corps are all signed through next season. So what are you going to change on defense? Now you have 8 defensemen on your team. Are you going to carry 8 all year like they did about half of this season? Probably not. You carry 7 and you run with it. So does that mean a change comes via trade to free up some cap space to get somebody like a Matt Duchene who supposedly wants to come to Nashville? Pekka took a pay cut. He's only going to be making $5 million next season, so you save a little bit of money there. But some guys just jumping into their big-time contracts. Ryan Ellis, who was at a bargain, $2.5 million. Well, it seemed like he was paying $2.5 million as a bargain. He's going to be making $6.25 million for the next 8 years, and he was largely bad most of the season. Let's not kid ourselves. Yes, they said, well, he had a record, career best as far as points go, but you look at the eye test, he didn't pass the eye test with me all season, and certainly not in the playoffs.